This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Te jotka jatkatte matkaa.
Para aquellos de ustedes que continúan.
Nous espérons que vous avez passé un bon moment sur notre vol et espérons vous rejoindre.
For those of you continuing on, we wish you a safe and pleasant journey. If this is your final destination, we welcome you home.
After being isolated in our homes for long periods of time, it's easy to feel less at home than ever. This is the podcast where I, Sandra Andres, and Laura Bach invite fellow artists, norm breakers, researchers, scientists, and spiritual leaders to share vulnerable stories and profound insights about how we all can feel more at home with ourselves.
Together with our guests, we will examine how to break the behavioral patterns that make us feel stuck and explore how to live a more joyful, connected, and sustainable life from the inside and out.
Because we do know one thing, maybe now more than ever. Regardless of our gender identity, profession, or nationality, we are more alike than we are different. And often it is a crisis or a challenge that cracks our hearts wide open and brings us closer to ourselves.
We are so excited to have you here with us. Welcome to Coming Home.
Hello, 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 everybody.
Hi, guys.
So this is a big little episode. We're going to talk about something that all of us can relate to, relationships. How do we handle our relationships? How do we deepen them? How do we actually connect? On this planet, we have intimate relationships, work relationships, friendships, family relationships. All of them affect us, whether we want to or not. Without relationships, it's hard, if not impossible, to function as a human being.
Indeed, that is true. We are social creatures, and our survival mechanisms are based on and programmed according to them. You need your tribe. You need your allies. But whilst our programming has not changed much, the social circumstances we live in have. And navigating in relationships nowadays seems to be deeply complex and very challenging at times.
Today's episode will be a bit different than our last one because we are sharing some of our own pivotal experiences of relationships with you and our guest, the Swedish psychologist Jenny Rickardsson, who joined us in the studio in Stockholm for this conversation. The setup is very much the same as we had in episode 5, where we shared stories from our own lives and talked about burnout and toxic productivity with the amazing brain scientist Katarina Gospic. It turned out to be something that many of you, our lovely listeners, really liked, so we're doing it again.
Yes, we are. We will get into some vulnerable moments and deep dive into some practical and very useful ways of building and deepening relationships. But first, Sandra, since we're sharing ourselves, I have a question for you. Was it hard for you to choose a relationship moment to share with everyone?
Oh, it was so hard. Way harder than I expected. But you know what came up? When I thought of which pivotal moment I was going to share and had to write it down, that's a big one to write it down, I think.
Yeah.
It becomes very clear. I learned so much. It just made me see so many things, you know, the things I still struggle with and what I have had to learn the hard way. So it was quite eye-opening, and it also made me think of one of my favorite quotes by the amazing American author and social activist Bell Hooks. Love is an action, not a feeling.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, it's so good, right? And so simple. I brought it into our conversation when we talked to our guest of expertise, Jenny, but I want to mention it here in the beginning too, because I do think that it is key to any healthy relationship. Yet we as human beings tend to forget it. Mm. I know I do. We get stuck on that feeling part, how love should feel so good all the time. And Jenny had so many interesting things to say about it and really clarified what kind of kind actions you can take towards yourself and others. Yeah. I thought that was really, really amazing. And that's why I'm so excited to share this with all of you. But how about you, Laura? Did you find it daunting to share a story on this subject?
Well, it's daunting in the sense that I share a story where I'm very honest about this feeling of insufficiency, you know, from within, because it's just such an awkward and unsmart feeling to flaunt, especially when you're talking about relationships. But that's one of the things that we're getting into with Jenny as well. If you really want to connect and open up relations, you need to dare to get vulnerable. And listening to Jenny talk about how to balance that with self-respect in relationships, for me, that was such an eye-opener. So without further ado, I think we should just introduce our wonderful guest and jump into it, right?
Absolutely. Jenny Rickardsson is a licensed psychologist and researcher at the 29K Foundation, an open-source co-created nonprofit app that makes tools for mental health, inner development, and civic leadership accessible and meaningful to millions. Jenny started out working in the media industry. She has served as an editor of The Psychology Factory, Sweden's number one blog for popular psychology, and is the author of the popular book, I Think I Have to Talk to Someone, A Beginner's Guide to Therapy. Now, Jenny has 10 years of experience as a licensed psychologist and specializes in acceptance and commitment therapy called ACT, and also serves as a PhD researcher for the Department of Clinical Neuroscience at the Karolinska Institute, where her research focuses on internet and smartphone ACT treatments for chronic pain. Her passion led her to assume a position as a researcher for 29K, where she converts evidence-based face-to-face treatments into a user-friendly and mobile format. Hi, Jenny. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so nice to have you here.
Yeah, it's so nice to be here.
I'm so excited about this topic. It is obviously a huge one that relates to all of us. It's about how we deal with relationships and how do you deepen relationships. Right?
Yeah.
That little topic is
a little topic. Yeah.
That you are a specialist.
Sprinkled a little bit all over life.
Exactly. There's no part of life where we can avoid that, so to speak. We're in relationship all the time. Laura, you're feeling us on that?
Oh, I'm so feeling you. I'm very, very, very intrigued what you have to say, Jenny, and also a ton of questions. So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. To start, I want to ask you about this therapy method that you are using and that you feel is very relevant when it comes to relationships. It's called ACT. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, ACT is short for acceptance and commitment therapy, and how it's relevant to relationships. The therapy method is a lot about what we can control and what we can't control in life, and other people are other people, and you can only do so much to affect their behavior, but you can do a lot with your own behavior. So the ACT method is about deciding what kind of person do you want to be, what do you want to stand for in life, and what kind of behaviors would reflect that person that you want to be. So the therapy method is about committing to doing what's important in life and trying to deal with what's going on the inside and not being as, how should I phrase it, like controlled with feelings of fear or anxiety that are temporary things on the inside that tend to control our behavior if we don't like consciously make decisions to do what we value instead in each moment. And in relationships, this is super important all the time.
Yeah. So what is in line with our own values, so to speak?
Exactly. Yeah. Like what kind of person do I want to be? How would I like to be remembered? Or how would I like my children to talk about me on my 75th birthday? So if you ask yourself that kind of questions, that may give you some clues to what kind of person do you want to be? What do you want to stand for in life? And then you can go from there and try to explore new behaviors or the same behaviors that you did before. It gives you another chance to choose what kind of behavior you want to do in different situations if you add that aspect of what will I think of this in 10 years or what will I be proud later on if I look back at myself.
And I presume the difficult bit is when you're in the moment and you get triggered by another person, then that's where it becomes difficult, right? So what you're saying is set the sail before you're out in the storm.
Well, yeah, and you set the sail many times every day, I'd say. but yeah.
Well, yeah, we talk about that a lot, right? So daily practice, yeah.
But yeah, it's super important. And I mean, I'm trying to practice this for like a decade or two myself, but you know, it's a constant practice. And we are sort of biologically built to go for, you know, the quick fixes or things that benefit us in the short term. And that's like, you know, reducing anxiety or doing something that feels good in the moment. And that is very often not the things that make us feel good in the long run.
This is where I would like to plug the autopilot. We've been talking about this in previous episodes a bit, that we all have an autopilot, a behavioral autopilot that has been developed through like survival instincts. It is what you're talking about. What makes me feel good right now? And I'll go about it that way, which is not necessarily what is the best thing for you to do. So this is what this podcast is about. How do we change behavioral patterns that don't serve us anymore?
So how do we do that, Jenny? Go.
That little question.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, but when you're triggered, like in the moment, and you say you choose your autopilot, can you give us some advice? What do you do?
Yeah, I would say the autopilot is not a choice we make because it just happens. Mm-hmm. And then some of the times we'll like catch ourselves afterwards and realize that I did something that I'm not very proud of, like yelling at my kids or screaming at my partner or you know, slamming doors or whatever. And then we have to like realize that this was something that I didn't want to do. So the next time in a similar situation, what do I want to do instead? And try to come up with an alternate behavior. And the next time we're in the similar situation, we might not be able to choose that behavior that time either. But, you know, the first step is the situation. It triggers me. I did something that I don't want to do. So then we have to practice doing this other thing that we want to do. And it may take us, you know, forever to change it because it takes time for behaviors to become sort of automatic because we have this long-standing behavioral patterns with us, and we don't have to reflect before we do them. They just happen. So when we want to change something, we have to like notice, reflect, and choose something different. So we need a little pause in order to help ourselves to choose that behavior, because otherwise it just happens as it usually does, and then we do our usual thing.
And then you can start to work on it. You catch yourself when you're in it, maybe you catch yourself a little bit quicker, and that's where the progress is, like where it exists, and you where you also need to be kind to yourself, right? Like, okay, I see this. I didn't react as quickly as I would like to, but I'm aiming at getting better at that.
Yeah, and I noticed it.
And you noticed it.
That's
hallelujah!
Like,
I noticed it.
Yeah. Well, that actually leads us into our first story. Because it was at a time in my life where I wasn't aware of certain things. And I had no clue where to start from here. The tension in the room in our railroad apartment in Brooklyn is so tense that I'm certain that you could cut through it with a knife. I feel like I can't breathe. But then again, I've felt like I've been slowly suffocating for quite some time now. For how long have I felt like this? I try to remember. No, wait. Is it over 2 years? Even more than that? 3 years, maybe? No. I feel disgusted and ashamed by myself when I think about it. I have stayed in this relationship for way too long. I haven't been honest with myself. How can that be? Who am I? Now he is staring back at me, and I'm not sure if it was me or him who said something last, and if I'm supposed to respond. We have been arguing for hours.
Hey, I'm sorry, whatever.
Look at the fireplace, it's crazy.
So what?
I'm completely exhausted and over it. The alarm clock beside my bed tells me that it is 2 a.m. in the morning, and I'm still not packed. My open and half-filled suitcase is laying on the floor. I have been trying to pack it for who knows how long now. while arguing with my boyfriend of 6 years. 6 whole years. An eternity. We have been going through so much together, grown up together. Basically, we have worked our asses off to become working actors and proper adults together. Here in the Big Apple of all places. The city that never sleeps. If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York. New York. Shit. He is still staring at me with his beautiful brown eyes. And I feel nothing. There's nothing left but agitation. I just want to leave. I want to get this suitcase packed and be sitting on that plane to Stockholm where I can get to breathe again. I simply want to fast forward a few hours to that, please. That's when he says it. Maybe we should just take a break. I'm so relieved. I didn't have to say it. I never thought he would. I thought I would have to do it. Just like I have had to take charge of everything that has to do with us. But now, I don't have to. But instead of saying what I feel inside, which is, Hallelujah, can I go to bed now? I take a moment, and then I respond calmly. Yes, maybe you're right. That's when it happens. He spits the words out, and I'm not at all prepared. You know what? You're good to have in a pinch. But you're the worst to have as a partner on a daily basis. His words hit me like sharp daggers, smack in the middle of my chest. But I don't show it. Instead, my response comes quickly and dismissively. What the hell is that supposed to mean? I have absolutely no idea how to deal with it yet.
Yeah, so,
wow.
Right? I mean, those words, it was so shocking to me. And I remember them ringing in my ears. And I was like trying to forget about them. Because at that point, I was so relieved having had such a painful breakup for such a long time. And I just wanted to move on. And here's where my autopilot comes in. So my autopilot is definitely just to move forward. And that was my instinct then. But those words were just like with me. And I felt like they hurt so much. But I couldn't really deal with it at the time. And it kept coming back. And over the years, I've really worked with that. What did that mean? I feel like I don't want to be that person who's not there for my partner on a daily basis. Like, okay, so it's great to be supportive and everything when shit hits the fan, so to speak. But there was some truth there that I had to take in and accept. And I feel like in some ways I'm still working with that autopilot, you know?
Yeah. But I wonder, when he said those things and you felt there is some truth here, did you recognize that immediately or did it take you some time where you first like, oh my God, fuck him, he's an idiot?
That was definitely my first reaction, but that was just some kind of defensive reaction because my go-to is very much anger. When I get fearful, I get angry. But I definitely felt that sting right away. And that it was like, oh, shit, there is some truth here. And also, I think that what the story conveys is also that I thought that I was driving our relationship. I was making it move forward. That's not necessarily the truth at all. So when I was going back to this experience, I realized all of the things that I know now is important for a relationship to work, which is, you know, what values, like you say, what kind of partner do I want to be? And then also commitment, because I was scared of commitment, like not really fully committing to to him. Mm-hmm. Like, what's around the corner? Is there something better looking ahead?
Ah, that's a super important thing as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking that what he said to you doesn't contain a lot of clues on what you can do differently. Did you have to work that out yourself, or could you communicate, the two of you, more on what was it that you actually did that made him say that?
Yeah, he did go into that a little bit, but I wasn't really ready to receive it. It was like he felt like I wasn't caring on a daily basis, that I didn't show him enough affection. He didn't feel seen or heard. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's awful.
Did you feel seen or heard?
No, but my situation then was the way that I had tried to survive. My story is that I was grew up with an impediment, and I pushed down my emotions when it came to that. I chose what I communicated in terms of emotions to other people. And that becomes a very controlled expression, right? So often the things that really mattered to me, or where I felt very, very vulnerable, I didn't express, not even to him. And that's obviously just a recipe for disaster, because there's no intimacy in that. And that's where I was at.
Yeah, and I think you're really onto the three sort of pillars for a healthy relationship, which is communicating, committing, and also striving to understand each other and validate each other's need. And it seems like this relationship didn't have very much of anything of that.
No, I feel like we were a blind leading a blind, because he was also struggling with the same thing. And it is interesting, because what we've talked about in this podcast before, Laura, you know, the typically male and female way of expressing emotions, which is obviously different from individual to individual, but women have more of a history of talking with each other
and
to
also being
sort
allowed
things out.
To be vulnerable. Yeah.
Yes.
Because you were saying that word before, Jenny, and I think that's such a key word. And yeah. Where men have been told historically, don't be vulnerable. So there's something there.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that, because vulnerability is something that women tend to practice more when growing up. In female relationship, it's a more common pattern to be more vulnerable than in male relationships. And I think it comes a lot down to like just pure practicing, because when men hang out, a vulnerability is often seen as a weakness and not as a strength. But among women, it's more common to, you know, realizing the fact that being vulnerable actually deepens relationships. And I think women have practiced that a lot more. But, you know, that's a general group level thing. And there are definitely a lot of women who hasn't practiced it, a lot of men who does practice it. So, yeah.
So I was a woman who hadn't practiced that, I can tell you that, because I had a very kind of then male way of operating in the world. I saw that emotions weren't valued when I was growing up. And that's also an interesting thing, because it's a cultural thing as well. Like in Scandinavia, we're very much based on the Lutheran tradition, which is stoic, and it's not really appreciated to show emotions, right?
No, we often tend to like react to people who are grown up around the Mediterranean. They express their emotions in a much more vivid way than we do in Scandinavia. And sometimes we sort of get scared by that, because we feel that they are super angry or something. And that's not the case. They just have practiced expressing that kind of emotions more than we have. And that's...
It's so funny that you say that, because I was, I grew up with my Italian family on one side and my Swedish family on one side. It was like complete culture crash, and I was trying to interpret those clues in a way. So yeah, that is actually funny. But I was definitely handling my emotional life that way, of not expressing it and being very stoic about it. And obviously that doesn't work. I'm so different actually today, and I'm very proud of that, and I'm constantly practicing that with my partner and with the people who are close to me.
But that's also like a very fine example of what it worked for you in the short run and this other relationship. But in the long run, it wasn't sustainable to act in that way. And when you realized that and you started to work on it, and you constantly have to remind yourself that this is the person that I want to be in a relationship. And I think that's a very interesting story from that aspect as well, that you became aware and you wanted to change it. And then since then, it seems like you've been practicing it. Mm. And, you know, it's still maybe not automated. You still have to consciously make that decision 100 times a day. And
exactly. And I have to say, I'm so grateful to him for that sentence. That has meant a lot for my own development.
Have you told him that?
No, I haven't. I should tell him that in person next time we see each other.
That would be beautiful.
I'm super grateful for that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Listening to your story, Sandra, and listening to you talk about where that comes from, I have a feeling, and maybe that's also a question, Jenny, that when we're children, we all are born with being open and just wanting to be seen and heard, and we put it out there, and then some of us are lucky and have parents that will hear that and see it and accommodate it, and some of us are not. So we close down, but the way we then close down and protect ourselves is different, right?
Yeah, as you say, when we are born, we have sort of a map that we can develop in different ways, because genetics do play a role in general behavior as well. But we're definitely shaped by our early relationships. So if we have like safe and trusting and vulnerable relationships when we grow up, we tend to use that as role models for relationships as adults as well. And the other way around, if they are dysfunctional and not trusting and you get punished for being vulnerable, for example, then you would probably tend to be more close and not tell people about your inner world as an adult either, because that behavior hasn't worked when you grew up. And those kind of behaviors, they are shaped by our environment in a pretty like harsh way. So if you're punished for something, like it can happen just once or twice, and then you can actually learn that, okay, this behavior doesn't work, so I won't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then you stop trying. And in order to relearn that behavior may be functional now in the context where you are now in life, that it's a hard practice to do it. But it starts with realizing that we have learned something from before and now we need to relearn something.
Yes, and I'm thinking when you communicate with someone, you sort of communicate with their past. Sometimes talking to someone and I'm feeling, oh my God, you're talking to your dad or your mum right now in this situation. And I have to break that barrier to make them feel safe in the space with me, and vice versa, that I can feel my past popping up and being afraid of being judged or whatever it might be. So in our conversation with each other, that I presume is very much present.
Definitely, yeah. And I can relate to that a lot as well, because I had a very nice relationship with my mom in many ways, but I also tend to really, really dislike when I, like she did.
Oh, that's a classic.
So allergic to that. And
it's not common at all.
And when I notice it, I also like wonder, why do I do this? Because I hated when my mom did this. And I just, you know, it just pops up from sort of nowhere. But it doesn't pop up from nowhere, because it's in my like learning history. And this is behaviors that, you know, we have had role models showing us them. And when we're in a situation that like resembles that or reminds us of that in any way, the behaviors that we saw at that time, they are sort of the ones that are available for us, unless we try to make a conscious decision. So, okay, now I get these, you know, impulses or memories from the past or whatever to do this. But what I want to do is something completely different. It's super hard, and it's not just going on in me. It's also going on in the other person in the room. You know, what's present right here and now is so much more than what actually is present right here and now. And that's hard to realize because you don't see it. You have no idea what's going on in the other person because it's hard enough to have an idea of what's going on inside of yourself. No matter what's happened in the past, that has already happened, right? You can't change that, but you can change what you want to do from now on.
That makes me think of this beautiful thing that love is an action, not a feeling.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
It's something we tend to forget, don't we? It should feel so good. Am I in love? Am I feeling this? I mean, when we're going through our everyday lives, that it's not like a constant feeling that's going to be there. But the way that we act towards each other is...
And also ourselves, love. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which brings me to the second story.
Oh, exciting.
I feel the tightening around my heart, and I try to keep calm and say to myself, remember, breathe, listen, and state your truth. But instead of breathing, my body goes into alert mode. Instead of listening, my defense mechanisms start kicking in. And instead of stating my truth, I go on a stumbling ramble trying to explain myself. It's a December evening many years ago, just at the beginning of a Christmas holiday. But I remember this conversation like it was yesterday. Outside, the snow is covering everything with its peaceful and beautiful blanket. It feels like a stark contrast to the harsh, confrontal tone in the voice of my partner at the time. He's standing in front of me, staring with a firm and irritated look. There is a lot of love between us, but he gets triggered by my more casual approach to life, and I get triggered by his need to judge both himself and me. Why did you not tell me about those working dates? What were you thinking? He says, breathe, listen, and state your truth. It's not working. It's not working. I can feel my heart tighten. I'm looking at him, looking at me. I so desperately want us to work, to do my part in communicating wisely with each other, but I just can't seem to find the balance between listening and being understanding towards him, and at the same time setting my own boundaries clearly and calmly. The trip is non-refundable. You knew that, he frustrated continues. It becomes clear that he has booked a holiday for the two of us in a time period where I have to work. And he's convinced that I have been reckless and forgot to tell him about it. I, however, am sure I gave him the dates and it's just a misunderstanding. But at this point, I'm neither listening nor stating my truth calmly. I am just defending myself. And for every word I utter and for every word he says back, I feel like strings are being tied around my heart and are pulled tighter and tighter until I can barely breathe. Don't let him notice how emotional you get. It will just make it worse. Then it'll become a talk about how you manipulate him with your feelings. So I do what I normally do. I withdraw and hear myself say, I'm sorry, even though I'm not even sure what I'm apologizing for. Having a different experience than him? Or just going with that never-ending voice in my mind saying, he is right. This is on you. The truth is that I dropped this one on the floor. I couldn't do what I promised myself I would do next time round. Breathe, listen, and state my truth. Nope. Once again, I'm left with a feeling of sadness for not having stood my ground. And a guilt for not having handled the situation with more grace.
Yeah, Sandra said before that anger is something that was in your autopilot, right? For me, I didn't know what anger was. I had no idea where that was in me or how to use that as an appropriate feeling when my boundaries were crossed, because I didn't have boundaries. Because my way of protecting myself was quite different. I was fortunate enough to grow up with a mum that's a psychotherapist. I was told many a time a day how loved I was and how amazing I was and so on. But also, I saw a whole line of females in my family not setting boundaries. So I hadn't learned that. So that is something that I'm so curious to hear your thoughts on. When you are someone that would rather apologize, would rather say, oh, that's on me, that's fine, that's fine, I'll take that one, than confronting someone with what wasn't okay in their behavior. Because I think, to be perfectly honest, I'm quite afraid of people not liking me. Mm. I think that's a big thing. So that balance, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on.
Yeah, first I just want to, you know, highlight that you're not alone.
Thank you. All.
Most always of good to know.
Really want to be liked. But, and it's super hard to do behaviors that risk not being liked. Mm. It's a difficult thing for most of us. I come to think of one thing when you tell your story, which is the triangle of the task, the relationship, and self-respect. Because in relational situation we're in, there you can look at it like you have three different aspects of it. You may have a task, which can be like, okay, we're going on this trip, or we're going to cook food, or, you know, whatever is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And then you have like the relationship between you and the other person. And then you have the respect to yourself. And in a lot of situations, we can satisfy all three of these aspects. But in a lot of situations, we cannot satisfy all three. Yeah. And then we have different behavior patterns of which one we tend to sacrifice. Mm. And if you constantly sacrifice the self-respect part, as it sounds like you may have done, and in this relationship, there's this hole on the inside that just grows and grows and grows, where we don't take care of our own needs, and we constantly prioritize the task and the relationship over ourselves. And then we need to see that and balance that. If we can't satisfy all three of them, we don't always need to sacrifice the same thing. Vary that sort of solution to different situations instead of digging this hole on the inside where we always sacrifice ourselves, because that's very unhealthy. But then you also need to be aware. Am I willing to sacrifice the task or the relationship here? If I relate to my own kids, for example, this morning I was sort of running a bit late to come here, and then my 15-year-old daughter asked me to fix her hair. And I was like, I don't really have the time. But then I realized that the kind of parent that I want to be, a 15-year-old doesn't give you too many chances to really do something together, because most of the time she's sort of, you know, going to do other stuff.
Yeah.
So I changed my mind and I said, yeah, let's do this. I'll fix your hair and I'll be 5 minutes late. So I'm sorry about this,
no.
Sandra.
Well
Mora.
Done, I would say. I completely
good
understand
choice.
You.
Mm,
yeah,
good choice.
So I prioritized the relationship, but I also down prioritized the thing that I want to be a person that comes on time and respect work commitments. But the relationship to my daughter was like, okay, I choose this one. And that was a hard decision to make. It's not a big thing in any way, but noticing that these three aspects are alive in any situation, and which one do I compromise now and then?
And that it's okay to compromise, because I tend to get a bit annoyed with myself when I don't get all three of them in.
Yeah,
I didn't know
totally.
This was a thing, so I'm learning as you speak. But yeah, that comes back to what you said before, Sandra, being kind to ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very much so.
And then the truthful aspect, because you've said that before, I know, Jenny, about be yourself. It's a really good idea to be yourself in a relationship. It's the best way to build. That's where the authenticity come in. I became quite an inauthentic version of myself, because I was just the person that you like instead of saying, I don't agree, or whatever it might be. And that can also be quite difficult for the recipient.
Yeah, but I think that it's super important to be kind to ourselves in these situations, because our brains, they're super prone to being liked, because not being liked, the risk of being rejected from like the group, that meant death tens of thousands of years ago. So it's no wonder that we're afraid of not being liked, because that's what our reptile brains is telling us. It's a super common thing that, okay, if I stand up for myself here, I risk rejection, so I don't do it, because that's dangerous. But as you did, you tried to reevaluate. So how can I be honest with my own feelings, and how can I set my boundaries in a more efficient way? Because if you try to set boundaries in a situation where you're already like agitated, then it won't work. You need to set those boundaries in a calm situation where you're both like willing to meet and discuss what is my need, what is your need, how can we do this together, and commit to help each other out to keep those boundaries. But if we don't tell the other person about our own needs, then we don't give them a chance to satisfy that.
We could not have done this podcast without the support from the absolutely frickadicky amazing Tweak Sweets.
This candy.
I know, this candy.
It's revolutionary.
It really is. We are so proud to have partnered up with them.
And we can highly recommend visiting their website at tweaksweets.com and checking out their 95% less sugary sweets, all natural flavors, high in fibers, and with 50% less calories as well.
We've talked about that a lot, Laura, that vulnerability is expansive. So as soon as someone in the room is speaking from their heart and being vulnerable, it's so much easier for the other people or the other person. So understanding that power that we all have to actually affect everyone around us.
Yeah, because if you do it, it's so much easier for other people to do the same. And that is super important. And vulnerability, it's like, if you're only going to do one thing in relationships, I would go for vulnerability.
Yeah,
that's the shit when it comes to deepening relationships. It's where we can actually meet and hear and feel seen,
connect.
Heard and connect.
Yeah.
Because we're humans, we're pretty alike in many ways. Mm-hmm. And then in some aspects we are, you know, more unique, but no matter what kind of vulnerability we have, it's our vulnerable aspects that makes us human. We're not perfect, and that's what it's supposed to be like. And we can meet in a vulnerable position in a different way than if we try to be strong and tend to always be perfect, because that's...
Raising my hand here, that was my former MO, so to speak.
Yeah,
it wasn't working.
And it's one of the last things we do with each other is get vulnerable, because we're desperately afraid, as you said before, being ostracized and being ridiculed. And somehow I feel in myself, as we're talking, to try and separate that, it falls back on me if I'm being ridiculed for stating my truth. That has to belong to the other person.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. Yeah. Because if your wish is to deepen a relationship, then the key thing you can do is being vulnerable.
Yeah.
But you can never know how will the other person react to that. And if you're lucky, or if that other person has a sincere commitment and really want to communicate, then that vulnerability is super, super important to make the other person take that step as well. But if the other person is not willing and trying to do something else with it, like ridicule or whatever, well, then the timing or the matching between the two of you, it wasn't right.
Oh, and that's such a beautiful thing you bring up. The timing wasn't right, because obviously we all have our journey, and it might just be a timing thing. And that can be so sad sometimes, but you need to know and really feel when to let go, right? And there might not have to be any blame there. That's also a beautiful thing, that you can actually break up in a healthy way. I mean, okay, I'm saying that.
It's pretty hard.
It's pretty freaking hard. But I mean, just having that in the back of my mind, I think it's something I didn't before, but it's actually that. It's not judging the other person. It's just, the timing is not right.
Yeah, and I think we often carry this idea that relationships should last. Mm-hmm. That's the ideal somehow. But you know, all relationships shouldn't last. And just that's the way life is. Sometimes it's when it's only hard to be in a relationship, maybe it's time to look at it from a different angle, because relationships are good when they are nourishing and when you at least part of the time feel good together, have fun together and rely on each other. And if it's not like that and you try to change and it doesn't work, well, maybe it's time to do something different.
Yeah. And I want to say something here to Laura. We have been talking about this before, you and I, but speaking from the heart, which neither you or I knew how to do at the time of these stories that we just heard.
Yeah.
But that's something I've been practicing, and it's been rough to try to say, okay, listen, I'm going to try to put words on my truth here. And I might not even know what this is. I don't even know where to start. So I'm stuttering and I'm trying to get the words out. But practicing that to actually speak from the heart demands way less energy than trying to come up with the right answer or choosing how to actually approach this situation. I think that was a major, major lesson for me and something that I'm trying to remember every day. Because I still have arguments with my partner.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Yeah, so do I. Can I add just one more thing? Because
yes, please.
Sort of think it's important. And that's when you communicate with other people, it's very easy to put your own interpretations of their intentions or their thoughts and or their feelings. And I do this all the time as well, but I try to catch myself just trying to communicate what you see in their behavior. When you look at your phone, when I try to talk to you, it makes me feel not seen or heard. And I fantasize about not being interesting enough for you when you do that, instead of saying, you don't care about me. So it's a different kind of communication that you can practice, that I see you doing this behavior and it makes me feel like this, instead of trying to put intentions or interpret what the other person might mean or might not mean.
It's such good advice. Thank you, Jenny, because that's really it, right? We tell ourselves stories. And so that's also been a helpful thing for me. But I hear this sentence, the story I tell myself is that you don't care about me.
Exactly.
But thank you. Thank you so much for coming in today. And this has been really inspiring, I think.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I think we might have to bring you back, because this relationship talk is just so vast and so filled with past and present and future and so on. And it all sort of comes back to ourselves, right? The relationship we have with ourselves.
Exactly. So we can deep dive into that one next
time. We can, for sure. Thank you so much, Jenny. It's been an absolute pleasure.
All right, so the story I tell myself is that this was a freaking inspiring interview.
It really was.
Jenny explained so many things so clearly and on point. I mean, it was so very useful, because there is so much to touch upon when it comes to relationships. And in this episode, we talked a lot about, well, specifically intimate relations. But I was thinking about how everything that Jenny talked about could be applied to any relationship that you want to invest more in and deepen. Mm. And it made me relate to a lot of other relationships in my life and how I can apply that knowledge to them. The thing is that relationships are everywhere, right? And we will never stop learning from them.
No, we won't. And you know what? I'm actually quite grateful for that, because it really does hold some of life's most beautiful and magical moments when we come together to learn about ourselves and each other. Mm. If you are curious about what we touched upon today and learn more about our guest, please visit cominghomepodcast.com. Here you can also find links to the inspiring and very useful app 29K. 29K supports you to take care of your mental health and grow together with others. When you want to learn new skills to deal with life, deepen relationships, or save the planet, they make evidence-based psychological tools scalable, lovable, and it's free.
It's quite amazing. The editing and sound mixing of this episode is made by Rahmatullah Sheikh with help from Christopher Örtegren, who has edited and sound designed our stories this time around. Our theme music is made by Caroline Jungström, and our website is designed by Seth and Östen Communication Bureau.
And thank you again to our amazing partner Tweak Sweets that make candy with natural flavors and colors. They are filled with fibers and have 95% less sugar than regular candy. As a listener, you can go to their website, tweaksweets.com, and use the code COMINGHOME20 and get 20% off a whole purchase. So go and check out all the different delicious candy they make and find your favorite one.
We truly appreciate all the feedback we get from you, and we simply cannot do this without you. So if you want to be a part of building this community and letting more people into the conversation, be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, that's absolutely fine as well. Thank you for listening to Coming Home with me, Sandra Andres.
And me, Laura Bach.
Take care and remember, be kind to yourselves. Till next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.